Today's Republican Party is gutting the middle class, threatening our democracy. They aren't going to stop. We have to stop them. That's why I'm running for the U.S. Senate. The struggle isn't over. Not for me, not for you, not for our country. Together we can and will win this fight.
Burbank Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff is running for Senate. He joins an increasingly crowded field for Senator Dianne Feinstein's seat. Two other Democratic members of Congress have also entered the race. Orange County's Katie Porter officially declared a couple of weeks ago, and it's expected Oakland's Barbara Lee will announce still. Feinstein has not announced whether she will run again. She will be 90 years old this June. Joining us now is Stephen Maviglio, a Democratic strategist. Hi there.
Hi there.
All right. First, I just want to play a clip of tape of Senator Feinstein. Here she is briefing reporters after a stint on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and they asked her about her future.
Senator, where are you going to make your decision about 2024?
Oh, probably in a couple of months. My husband passed away not too long ago, and so I'm still going through that.
I'm so sorry.
And I want to get through it. He had cancer, and this was always a hard death. So I think I'll just take some time.
But what do you make of people who are already announcing, like Katie Porter?
I think it's all fine. I think people should, if they want to run, run. For me, I just need a little bit more time.
Okay, so it's a little hard to hear there, but she says she'll make a decision in a few months. She needs more time, still working through her husband's death last year. So what do you make of that, the fact that she seems pretty open to other people running, even though she herself has not announced whether she will or not?
You know, I think you have to respect her decision. She's been our senator for a long time, probably one of the most effective senators we ever had, and she wants to do it on her own timetable. But I think the writing is on the wall for her. She knows it. I think she wants to play a major role in her successor. She has a legacy that she wants to continue, and she has a very good relationship with the governor. If she were to resign early, which is not out of the question, and the governor appoints somebody, or to have a major impact on this race that is shaping up among a big battle among Democrats.
Right. Okay. So are you surprised that Adam Schiff and Katie Porter did not wait for her to officially announce?
No, I think, you know, it costs a lot of money to run for any office, but particularly the United States Senate and the state of California. Both of them are some of the best fundraisers we have in the nation in terms of raking in national dollars and local dollars to run. And you need that head start, unfortunately. There was a lot of criticism of Katie Porter for announcing it during the middle of a time when California was under siege by Mother Nature with storms. And Schiff seems to be a little more deferential to Feinstein. But again, he did announce he wanted to get out there early and started lining up endorsements and raising that money he's going to need.
Right, right. So I understand that Katie Porter actually raised the most money of any House candidate in the last cycle. And so are the two going to be going after the same donors?
You know, they have their own following. Adam Schiff has a national following because of his role in the impeachment of Donald Trump. He won widespread support for his role in doing that and respect from a lot of members. I think he would be the choice of most members of our congressional delegation. He's also very close to Speaker Pelosi. Katie Porter has more of a individual online fundraising base. So I think Schiff will get some more of the bigger checks. Porter will probably get a lot more of the smaller checks, but both are among the champions in fundraising. Schiff has $20 million in the bank right now. Porter has about eight. She had to spend a lot of it in her last congressional race where she was really tested because she is in a swing seat in Orange County.
Right. And they're both in Southern California. What about in Northern California? We have Barbara Lee. She hasn't announced, but she's told the Congressional Black Caucus that she intends to run.
Yeah, and that'll be she'll be a formidable candidate. Her lack of fundraising ability might be what hurts her, though. She has been very comfortable in that seat for a couple decades. She really hasn't had that national profile. But she has a very active base among the progressive left. If Ro Khanna, another congressman who's also toying with the idea, gets in, that makes it even more difficult for her because he would be the choice of sort of the Bernie Sanders wing and the operation in the state. So it's going to be a crowded field, a lot of people competing for a lot of money.
Right. And then a lot competing to be the most progressive, I guess, with Barbara Lee, Ro Khanna, Katie Porter. So is Adam Schiff going to tactically hew more to the center?
I think so. That's the kind of guy he is, first of all. And secondly, Katie Porter is not exactly a, you know, flaming liberal. She's for single payer, but she also had a run from Orange County. So she has a smattering of moderate votes in there, too. But, you know, you got to remember, this is also going to be a top two primary, which means Republicans are going to vote, too. Now, they have a massive dislike of Adam Schiff because of his role in the Trump hearings and impeachment. Katie Porter has been able to win Republicans in Orange County. Barbara Lee would probably be off the list for most Republicans, and so would Rokana. So you have to think very strategically about how this is going to be won in June, because the June winner of the top two, if it's a Democrat, is probably going to take it in the long run.
And I assume there is no Republican who stands a chance.
I don't think a Republican stands a chance to win the seat outright, but I think if one Republican runs, he'll consolidate, or she'll consolidate the Republican votes. And that will give them an entree into the top two, particularly if you have four or five Democrats splitting the Democratic vote. So we have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah. So do you see this as a national campaign? Obviously, this is for a state, you know, a California Senate seat. But how national will this race be?
Well, I think certainly from, and I keep talking about it, the money aspect, they're going to need donors from across the United States. Both of them have very strong individual fundraising lists, and we will see a lot of money coming from other states to California. Usually it's the other way around. You know, we're the ATM for races around the country. But it'll be a high-profile race because both of Katie Porter and Adam Schiff, and even Barbara Lee, have a pretty, and Rokana, have national profiles. So you can see them on CNN and MSNBC and on NPR all the time because they're very active members of Congress.
Okay, and what does this mean for the House and these seats? They have to give up their seats to run, I assume. These are very, as you say, outspoken and powerful members of Congress. What does that mean for their House seats?
Well, you know, clearly there will be a domino effect here. The only one that wouldn't be a safe Democratic seat is Katie Porter's, because it's generally considered a purple area where she's from. She had a very strong opponent last time who almost took her out. So that one is one that Kevin McCarthy is probably licking his chops that she's running for already, because that one could possibly slide back in the Republican home. And there are already two Democrats who have announced that. Harley Ruta, who was a congressman from a nearby area, as well as State Senator Dave Min, who is a short-term member of the state legislature but has a pretty impressive record and is Asian American in a district that is heavily Asian American.
And then I guess, you know, forecasting into the future, but not too far into the future, what are the chances that the Senate stays in Democratic hands? So they may, you know, win, you know, one of these might go to the Senate, but yet not have the kind of power that they assume that they might have now.
Yeah, 2024, if you look at the map, is pretty precarious for Democrats. The two raiders of such things nationally came out the other day and said it's 50 Republican seats to start. And there are about three or four swing seats, including Montana, Arizona, Michigan, and a few others that could go either way. So if you look at what's going to be on the ballot in 24, Democrats really have their work cut out for themselves to maintain the majority.
Right. So they could find themselves in a position they find themselves in today in the minority once they get to the other side.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, people have warned against abolishing the filibuster, say, well, you know, it might come around back to you, Democrats, if you get rid of it, because then the Republicans could jam everything down your throats, just like a lot of people are advocating the Democrats do now to move their priorities forward. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting at 2024 because it's also a presidential year and that has all kinds of impacts and turnout.
All right. Democratic strategist Stephen Maviglio, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
The cause of Lisa Marie Presley's death has not been officially declared, but her family had a history of heart disease. What women of all ages need to know about their risk, next on Press Play.